That's the problem with the podcast, is that at a certain point you almost never sign off, and you're always like a fake and a fraud.
You go to bed at night and your head's on your pillow, but you're still thinking about your character on the show, and you have these dreams.
It's just hell, honestly. It's just the worst.
In my dreams, I'm just Joe the podcast host. I have no identity anymore. Mariev, help.
Okay. Joe, you really ran with that one.
All right. Hey, I am Mariev Harrington. Is there more to the intro?
thanks for joining the show us. Is the first podcast. And thank you for joining us, Mariev.
It's great to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Can you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Sure. Yeah. I am an actor and a writer and a singer. So just your average creative person, but I'm currently working on Disney Channel's Big City Greens. I also write and star in and shoot every week an Instagram show called Instagrammy, and do all the TV guest star stuff as well, and then a bunch of video games and other animation guest stars, and I sing periodically with my band as well. We do like 1930s, 40s jazz.
That's really cool. So do you like do any swing dancing or anything like that?
Oh my gosh, I am the worst dancer ever, but I always appreciate the dancers who dance to our music. Yes.
Because I used to swing dance for a few years and back in high school, college, early college. And that's the type of music that we would swing dance to, doing the stunts, throwing the girl up in the air and whatnot, doing the flips.
That's always so much fun as a singer when there are dancers, because it's just the most, I've got the best view, right, of the whole of the whole place to watch the dancing. So, yes, but the acting stuff has been a little busier these days. So I'm singing less at the moment, but like all these creative endeavors, when one thing is really busy, then another thing tends to be a little quieter, then the other thing will pick up and this, you know. So it's always nice to have a bunch of irons in the fire, because you never know, you know, when one thing's going to be busy and the other things are not going to be. Yeah.
And you want to strike while the iron's hot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
sure,
definitely.
That's a good mixing of those metaphors. So when I first checked out your stuff, because Joe was saying, oh, we're going to have this woman named Marie Yvonne, which turned out to be incorrect pronunciation.
Yes.
Very much so.
I saw the, I thought it was Marev, but I was way off as well. So
we both
really butchered that one.
That's okay. It happens all the time. You are not the first.
What is the worst pronunciation anyone's ever given you?
Probably Marvy.
Marvy. I was like, that's not even close.
It's not even close. I know.
That's awesome.
Oh, I see how they did it.
Yeah.
They ignored the I and the E. Put the VE after the Mar. Just Mar.
I don't think there was much thought process. I think they were just being kind of dumb, Joe. Anyway, the first thing that obviously I noticed was that you were on How I Met Your Mother as Betty. Mm-hmm. But I was actually looking at, you know, your filmography, and you've got a lot of really cool stuff to your name, like Final Fantasy 15, One Punch Man, Knights of Sidonia, Doc McStuffins, just lots of just
like totally varied. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of a very eclectic mix. But you had your fingers in a lot of pies that I didn't realize were in there. So I was kind of excited to have you on. I didn't even know that you voice acted at first, but that's kind of cool. How did you get set up with Final Fantasy 15?
You know, the way that most of those voiceover roles come down the pike is honestly just an email from my agent. With an audition in it, I step into my booth that I'm currently in right now. I have a little recording studio at home that we built. It's like it looks literally like a little Harry Potter closet right under the stairs. I'm only 5'2", so it doesn't. Oh. It's not very. It really can only fit me. But it's this little padded room that I come into to record all my auditions. So I take those sides, prepare them, record it, edit it, send it off. And then it's like, hey, checking your availability for this job, go and do the job. And that's it. Like, it's pretty simple.
Do you have any tips, tricks, or advice for anyone trying to get into that kind of thing, a voiceover, you know?
Oh, boy. Yes, this is probably, I probably get tweet or a Facebook message or something about this almost every day, and I keep meaning to put together an exact, concise list of, you know, this is step one, step two, step three, step four. I used to, but the thing is the business has changed a whole lot. And it's, you know, when people talk about getting into voiceover, it's like, which aspect of voiceover? Because there's voiceover everywhere in a way that we don't even realize half the time, with all these Alexas and digital devices and, you know, there really is voiceover everywhere. It's not just cartoons. I think people think voiceover, cartoons, but it's like, it's movie trailers, it's audiobooks, it's apps, it's, you know, there's so many commercials, radio or TV, you know, there's so many different avenues of voiceover. So I think probably my question for anybody starting out, it's like, well, which segment of voiceover are you interested in? And then start, just really begin by studying that and figuring out, oh, okay, well, hey, I'm super into animation and I enjoy watching it. I understand sort of like that art form and that style, and I perhaps have the voice type to get into that. And there's so many online resources now that you don't just have to be, you know, in LA or New York to be doing it. You can certainly start at least educating yourself online. I know Dee Bradley Baker has a great website called iwantabeavoiceactor.com, which answers a ton of questions.
I want to be a voice actor.
Yes. .com. Yeah. Any voice actor, once you start sort of studying the thing you're into, whether it's animation or audiobooks or movie trailers, figure out who's working in that domain and go Google them, because now 95% chance that person has a podcast that was done about them, or they've got a YouTube video interview where you can learn kind of straight from that person. Because the path is slightly different depending on what you want to focus on. But there's so many online resources. But I guess my like one big advice for people interested in getting into voiceover is just don't forget that it's voice acting above all else. So I can't tell you how often people say, oh, everybody tells me I have a really cool voice. And it's like, well, that's great, but what can you do with it?
Yeah, how much vocal variety do you have? How much vocal control?
And that's,
you
know, that's part of it. But that's not even the whole thing. Some people are huge utility players, and certainly that will help you get cast, simply because when you get hired on a cartoon, they can get three voices out of you for the same price. So you better believe that Disney, Nickelodeon, Cartoon Network are just like, oh, hey, if that person can do three voices, that's a deal for me. So I'd rather hire them than somebody who's a one-trick pony. That being said, if you are a one-trick pony, but you do that one trick really, really well, and it's really interesting, and above all else, for cartoons anyway, you're funny, then you're probably fine. But yeah, I would just say study acting and improv.
Have you ever seen like really massive mistakes that people have made that were even like not necessarily career enders, but just like things that you've observed that were like, you know, either really hilarious at someone or just like, how could somebody make such a mistake? Like,
In terms of career moves or in terms of like performance?
Either.
Well, here's the thing. I think in a creative career, it's really hard to say if there's any such thing as a mistake, you know, because it's like something might seem, if you're an audience member, you go, oh, well, why did that actor do that? That seemed like a weird creative choice or weird choice to make for their career. But you just never know what people are sort of what's happening in their lives. So what might seem on the outside as a strange choice makes a lot of sense to the actor on a personal level. And certainly performance wise, I don't know that I've ever heard mistakes. I think I've heard performances where I'm like, huh, that is not how I would have cast that if I was the person. And it's like, oh, I feel like such and such would have been a funnier person. But listen, it's voiceover is so competitive, especially given that now, because it used to be, you had to be in one of the major markets where you would go in to your agent's office to audition, or you would go to the casting directors themselves. So you were up against what, a couple dozen people, like 100 max. Now, you know, for Big City Greens, I was told that there were 750 submissions on that. And those are just the people who were lucky enough to have agents, you know, because there's a bunch of talented people who want to be doing this who don't. Right. So it's like with the advent of the internet and things being so opened up, what was I going to say? Oh, casting directors, they're just listening to so much more. And at the end of the day, I do feel like the cream rises and great people get jobs. So it's just, it's hard to say that I've heard performances where I'm like, oh gosh, oh no.
Yeah. And that makes sense. You know, I like the way you put that too.
It kind of seems to me like a lot of companies will just, when they're looking for who they're going to hire, they just say, oh, we'll just go with Troy Baker and Laura Bailey and call it a day, though. So,
hi, it's me, Lars, the editor. I just realized that this might have sounded insulting to Laura Bailey or Troy Baker, which I was definitely not trying to do. Please come on our show, Troy and Laura. We really like your work. You're just in a lot of stuff. For good reason, but you guys are in just everything. It's just, it's like, it's weird if I'm just digging a bigger grave here. Okay.
Certainly, and there's something to be said for, look, these people are names. They've built up a reputation. And especially sometimes if it's a newer show, a newer showrunner, they want to stick to, okay, we've got to make sure that we've got some seasoned people. There, but I don't know. I feel like if you hear casting directors speak, almost all of them say, no, I listen to everything that comes across my desk. And so it's kind of like, may the best, funniest person win. Surprise me with something I haven't heard.
Do you think they actually do listen to all of them, or are they just saying that?
They do. They absolutely do. They may not listen to the entirety of your audition. Like if they listen to the first 20 seconds, say it's a 2-minute long audition, if they listen to the first 20 seconds and they're like, yeah, this is not a voice that I feel like. Sometimes you can just tell when a voice sounds put on. So it's like, moving on. Or if it's like, no, this person just, they're not interpreting the text and sort of serving what the writers that wanted or paid attention to any of the specs. It's like moving on. So they won't listen to all of it. But every time I've talked to a casting person, they say, we listen to everything. Absolutely everything. We may not listen to the whole thing, but yes.
Is there anything that a voice actor can do that will like blacklist them from the whole industry? Is that like a real thing to be blacklisted specifically?
If you talk about the projects you're working on before you're allowed to talk about them, that's probably the biggest thing, especially nowadays with social media, where everybody wants the immediacy of like, look at me, I'm working on this project and I'm so fancy. Don't do it. Like, wait until the show has aired, your name is in the credits. You also, you know, depending on if it's like a smaller part too in something, you don't know if you've been cut or not. Mm-hmm. So it actually behooves you to not look stupid.
Do people do that? Do they do it by accident because they don't really realize that they're not supposed to be talking about it, or are they doing it and they know they're not supposed to?
I think most of the time it's newer people who don't understand the implications of it. But I think word has really sort of gotten out in the community, and certainly everything that comes out nowadays, even the auditions, have NDAs on them where it's like, don't talk about this. So I feel like I feel like now people are really sort of getting it that no, do not talk about this stuff until it is definitely, definitely out. And the PR team from your network has confirmed everything. You cannot leak anything. But, you know, it was bound to sort of, we were bound to go through that period, right, where actors were revealing things with the advent of social media. Because when I started in this business, that was not a thing, where suddenly the actors have a platform to talk directly to fans. That wasn't a thing 15 years ago.
It is kind of interesting. I was just thinking, you can basically search for any celebrity that you want to talk to, and you're going to find them on Instagram, and then you can DM them and they have a chance to respond.
Yeah. And not everyone will, but yeah, some people will.
No, of course. Of course not everyone will, but there's the opportunity.
Yes.
I think sometimes, by the way, the actor just gets a little bit too excited. Like, I know Tom Holland has a bad habit of that because he's, you know, in the Marvel movies as Spider-Man. And he just, you can tell he's just like really stoked about what he's doing. And he may divulge a little bit too much.
Listen, and it's hard not to, because sometimes you're like, oh my gosh, I'm working on this really cool thing with people I so admire. And you just want to geek out. It has nothing even to do with ego and saying, look at me, I'm so fancy. It's just you're really excited, but you have to just take that picture, shoot that video, and store it in your phone until, you know, you have the green light from everybody else to release it. So that's probably one of the only things that will get you blacklisted. That and just being a jerk, because at the end of the day, you can be super talented, but if you're not nice to work with, why would people hire you? And it's a really, really small community that really works. So, you know, your reputation gets around.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any funny stories or?
That's a really basic question, Joe. Let's
Lars,
let's
obviously
do something a little bit more interesting.
I wasn't finished, Lars. If you'd allow me to finish,
okay, buddy.
I was just wondering if you had any stories about people who were being jerks. Where?
Well, she may not be able to answer that because of professional courtesy.
Well, I would just say, I just wouldn't say the name of the person. I don't know that anybody's been an overt jerk. I think, if anything, sort of people have, I've, the worst I've seen. And now keep in mind that voiceover nowadays, there are fewer and fewer group recordings. So oftentimes you're by yourself. So it's hard to sort of say like, oh, this person was a jerk, because you're working on your own the lion's share of the time. But I think the biggest way in which people are, quote unquote, jerks these days is being distracted by their phones in the booth. And so they're like not paying attention when you're in the midst of a take. I think that's kind of the biggest jerky behavior that I've experienced.
Yeah,
I'm lucky
enough
really
to
say.
That really unprofessional.
It's just like super uncourteous.
And why would you want to be on your phone? Because you're there making money.
Like, hold on, guys. I'm actually just finishing up a YouTube video right now.
Yeah, that's just really awkward.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. And I mean, look, there is downtime when it's a group recording. So I understand wanting to keep yourself occupied, or I guess respond to Twitter followers or whatever. But I've always been like a little mystified about like, well, keep one ear open. And like, if you know that your next line is at line 115 and they're at 95, okay, you got to keep an eye on that to be, you know, paying attention pretty darn soon. But then, I don't know, it feels so weird to be talking about like, oh, the negative things. The only other, I suppose, negative thing was I was in the booth with someone who's pretty well known, and you know, she, I guess, assumed that I was a total beginner and was like, okay, now you don't shuffle your pages in between. I was like, thank you. You just smile. So I guess, just assume everybody knows what they're doing unless they show you otherwise. And at that point, if you want to be helpful and say, hey, you know, but don't assume people don't know things, because that's a way of making somebody feel really small.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
And when when you're 5'2", I mean, you already feel pretty small.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
That reminds me of this thing that used to happen at Disneyland when I was working inside the park. You know, we would do parades or what have you. I actually used to be a Jungle Cruise skipper as well.
Oh, that's cool.
Thank you. And so people who did not work there often, let's say at the Jungle Cruise, they'd be wearing their name tag and maybe it wouldn't have their 1 year pin on it or their 5 year pin. And newer cast members than them would assume that they're new and start telling them how to do their job. And sometimes they would just go with it like, oh yeah, what else do you recommend? And they're actually like a seasoned veteran and a noob is telling them what to do. And some of them were really annoyed by it. Other times they didn't care, but it was just a funny thing that would happen.
So you can relate.
It is interesting how like, and I think that it's across a lot of creative industries. Sometimes it's the people, you know, who, at least in my experience, who like keep their head down and like seem really quiet. They're it's the people who are not putting on the huge show that are sometimes the biggest deals, you know, like they're the quote unquote fanciest people, because it's just like they don't feel the need to put on a show or tell people how to do things because they're perfectly secure in their careers, their creative process. Exactly.
They've probably done it so many times. It's just another day at work for them. Mm-hmm. They're not there to put on a show. They're there to record their lines.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I was kind of curious that earlier we had mentioned that you had done some work on a project that I call Himyum, and Joe
yes.
like fiercely protests that pronunciation of that.
I disagree that I fiercely protested. I just said
it was pretty fierce.
I was not fierce. It was not a fierce
full
protest.
Of rage.
No rage. No rage.
On set, people referred to it as Himyum as well, too.
So,
yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
But it wasn't fierce. I just said, oh, I haven't heard that.
It was pretty, pretty darn fierce.
Not fierce.
It wasn't until like my, I don't know, third episode or something that I had heard that. And I was like, what is that? I think it was the episode that Neil Patrick Harris was directing, and we had like circled up after, I think, a table read, and put our hands in the center, and it was like, 1, 2, 3, Himyum. And I was like, what? Mm-hmm. And so it took me a second.
What's he like in person?
An absolute delight. I mean, the nicest human ever.
Well, that's good to hear. That's what I was hoping
goodness.
You would say.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, it would have sucked if you were like, oh, yeah, he's a jackass. Like,
no. No. And if he was, by the way, I would have said, you know, he would have been. Because this is the thing, is that sometimes you can, in this business where sometimes you will work with people for like a day, you might have caught them on a bad day, too. And that's like not indicative of who they really are. But no, he was so nice. I believe that that episode, the Buttum episode, I believe was his first episode that he ever directed of TV. So they scheduled extra time to make sure that, you know, weren't rushed and nobody was feeling uncomfortable with, because it was just a new director. But he was really, really kind to everybody and made even the people with small parts, such as mine, feel really important, which was very cool.
I have a question, and I don't know if you'll be able to talk about this or not. Mm-hmm. I was just wondering, you know how there's sort of a mystery surrounding what his profession is on the show?
Whose profession?
Neil Patrick Harris's character, like what he does.
Oh, uh-huh.
Are you able to speak about that at all? Or is that like Malcolm in the Middle's last name? No one can ever know.
No, you know what? Like I came to appreciate the show. I can't say though that I am really well versed in the whole universe of the show. So I don't know. I don't know the answer.
We were kind of hoping you were. That's super disappointing.
Sorry.
No, just kidding. Go ahead, Joe.
What I heard was that he was some type of corporate lawyer who was maybe tied up in some bad dealings, like environmental.
That could make sense.
I don't really know, though. So I was just kind of curious. I think the whole mystery is that the character obviously makes a lot of money. He spent $5,000 on a painting in one episode of another one of the main characters to paint a portrait of him in the nude.
Right.
And so obviously this character is, you know, got money.
Or just really wants a nude painting of himself. I mean, you can save
really
up for that,
wants
I suppose.
It.
Yeah.
A financial priority.
That was a funny episode. He said he has to get this nude painting done when he's good looking before he gets too old.
Yeah, I mean, everyone has their priorities, and sometimes nude paintings are one
maybe
of them.
Saved up for a long time. Long time
maybe.
Dream. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe he's
who
a
knows?
Waiter or a
but
clown
no.
or something.
Unfortunately, I
but
have no
But he's always
no
saying
answers.
Suit up, and he's got these nice suits. You're saying he got him like at the thrift store or something? Like he's,
well,
he's
maybe he gets them secondhand.
Like, maybe, but
I think there's a possibility that he's just like a clown.
Maybe. We're just kind of speculating at this point. But
yeah, just wild, baseless speculation.
Wild, yeah. Wild. I think that his character is an astronaut.
Really?
Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
No, of course not. I'm just...
No, go ahead and justify that, Joe. I'm kind of curious. Like, what's
that? No, I don't really think that.
Oh.
I was just going along with the joke that we're doing baseless speculations.
Oh, okay.
I mean, listen, from probably the writer-creator's standpoint, like, they... want to make something that, yeah, you love characters so much that you ask these questions. So yep. I'm sure they would be delighted that you had come up with these potential careers.
Yeah, we should tweet the creators of the show.
Yeah, and they're very accessible on Twitter, Craig Thomas and Carter Bays. Yeah.
We don't really like Twitter too much because Joe and I just aren't personal fans of it, but, you know.
It's a lot of politics. Yeah.
Are they on Instagram? We like Instagram.
I think, I want to say one of them is, I'm not sure.
Well, we'll figure it out, Joe.
Yeah.
You don't have to put her on the spot for knowing where everyone is at all times on all social media platforms.
Now, what about all of the producers and their assistants?
What about that? They're probably on Instagram also, and it's really actually a great tool to get to know people.
Yeah,
that sounds right.
Surprisingly,
what about the lighting people? No, I'm just kidding. Let's move on.
Let's move on, indeed. By the way, Joe, let me throw something at you. Would you rather?
All right, this seems staged, but okay.
So, would you rather pay about, let's say, $1,000 a year for your cell phone bill, which millions of Americans already do, or would you rather just pay $15 a month?
Ooh, I'd have to crunch the numbers on that first.
I thought you'd say that, but they're actually pre-crunched. The latter, which is offered by Mint Mobile, by the way, is significantly cheaper.
What's the catch?
No catch.
No, but what's the downside?
There isn't.
So how are they so cheap?
Well, it's low overhead mostly. I mean, it doesn't cost much to run an MVNO. The real question is, why are other companies so expensive, to be honest?
Huh. Can I play headball on their network?
Yeah, no matter how stupid your mobile game of choice is, I guess it'll work. So, unfortunately, yes.
Can I drunk email Barbara Streisand my Yentl song covers?
You know, they're not going to stop you, but it's kind of awkward to do that.
No, it's fine.
Okay. Anyway, go ahead and check out mint.t1podcast.com if you want to find out more. Their plans actually do start at $15 a month. It's ridiculously cheap, and they're great. Seriously, you'll thank me later. By the way, I don't know if you picked up on this or not, Mariev, but
yes.
Like Joe and I have lots of like obviously fake banter on this. Like we're good friends in real life. Like the
I can tell. Yeah. Yes, and I did listen to an episode beforehand too.
Oh, which episode did you listen to?
Oh my goodness, I cannot remember her name. She wasn't also in comedy. Another comedian.
Who did we have that was a comedian?
Lennox Knight?
Possibly. Yes, that sounds familiar.
Oh.
The introduction was very quick, and then I was just listening to hear sort of the format, the duration, and when you said, oh, it is a more sort of like free form podcast, because some of them are like, these are the questions and blah 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 blah.
Those are really boring podcasts where they're like really like there's a place for them, but I kind of prefer things just to go organically. I think that's the
free
best.
Form.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like when you're watching an interview on the red carpet and they're asking these questions that it's like, yeah, you're asking questions. Maybe I'm interested in the answer, but I'd rather watch somebody have a conversation.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, I guess it depends on the nature of the podcast, too, because some are meant to be, I suppose, more instructional. Perhaps so.
Yeah, some are meant to be super basic and boring. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, tell me about your first credit and how that happened. And then tell me about how you got to that next level, blah, blah, blah. So,
yeah, we won't ask about like your first credit. We'd rather ask about your first debit. Haha, dad jokes. Anyway, let's move on.
I love a dad joke.
I don't get it, Lars. Can you spend a little more time focusing on that?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, Joe, let me explain the joke for you, since I guess you didn't get it.
Sure, absolutely.
So, she was saying credit as in her first acting credit.
Right, her first acting credit.
But I was making a joke because there's credit cards and debit cards. So, I was like, you know, purposely misinterpreting what she said for the purpose of
debit.
Humor. That was the joke. Do you understand?
Good. I see. I just don't think it's funny.
Well, that's okay. You know, not everyone has a great sense of humor, Joe.
Nothing sends home a joke quite like a long-winded explanation of one. Just
that's why
feels
I made
good.
Him explain
just
it.
Just feels
that's
good.
The joke, indeed, Mariev.
Feels good.
Okay, yes. So just out of curiosity, I know this is going to be super vague, but is there anything you can tell us about the recording process or the actors or anything from Himyum that maybe people just don't know? Maybe some sort of interesting anecdote or just something from your pile of memories?
Sure. I mean, first of all, so the director, Pamela Fryman, is like a god. She's the nicest person in the world and is also so incredibly efficient with the way that she runs sets, which was a little overwhelming my first day there, because it was also one of my first credits when I first came out here, and I don't think I knew how big of a deal the show was when I booked it, which honestly probably helped, because I didn't have any real pressure on myself. But yeah, she moves very, very quickly, is so kind, is so lovely, but just whew, that set moves. Like I had one day where I was called to set at 6:30 and I was wrapped by 9:30.
I hear that's kind of common though, where people get called in pretty early and then they're done for the day at like 10. Like that's not unusual for acting.
Well, and what I will say, when you said like, oh, secrets or whatever about the show. So something that people might not realize, the thing about How I Met Your Mother is that it's shot multi-camera style. So it's not like Modern Family, right? Where it's what's called a single camera show, which is a bit of a misnomer because there are always multiple cameras shooting at the same time.
Modern Family, which you were on, by the way, for a single episode, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
And a multi-camera comedy is shot more like a play. And it's like you put on a play every single week. And so you do a table read on Monday, start blocking and rehearsing Tuesday, Wednesday, do some pre-shoots Thursday, and then Friday, if you're working on a Monday to Friday schedules, and some of them are like a Tuesday to Tuesday schedule. Anyway, it doesn't matter. You're doing it in front of a live audience, which is where you're getting those laughs from. So people think it's a laugh track, but it's not. This is real people who have loaded into bleachers. There's about, a couple hundred people. But How I Met Your Mother was what was called a hybrid. So it was shot in the style of a multi-camera comedy, but there was no audience. So that's why we were allowed to... We moved really, really quickly. And in the case of How I Met Your Mother, another interesting fact about that show is that because of all the flashbacks, the number of scenes per episode in that show is about twice the norm. Because, you would flash back to one quick little moment of a joke, right? And then flash right back. Well, that might have taken 2 seconds of screen time, but that's a whole new setup, a whole new scene that needs to be shot. So I think that probably really contributed to the pace at which Pam Fryman ran the place.
That's really interesting.
What was I going to say? I had a question that I was going to follow up with, but for the life of me, it seems to have escaped.
And not for the first time.
Oh, boy. Oh, no, here it is. Here it is. Okay, and with the obvious caveat that people should not consider this, canon whatsoever, because you're not in charge of that, I'm just kind of curious, when it comes to Betty, what do you think happened to her?
Oh, I know exactly what happened to her. So, Ted Mosby, he was teaching an Architecture 101 class. So, if you noticed, for a couple of seasons, Betty kept being still in Architecture 101. So, So my being there was actually, I guess, more problematic from a story standpoint than me not being there, because she just moved up. She just, aged up into Architecture 201.
Oh.
301. Yeah.
Rumor has it she's still in Architecture 201 today. That's awesome.
She very well might be. But I think she got her act together after spending 2-3 school years in 101. Or who knows, maybe she just was so engrossed in Ted Mosby's love life, she stuck around for that.
Sure, it's relatable.
Now, I've noticed there's kind of a difference between kind of two ways of playing a sitcom character. And I realize that there are a lot of ways to do it, but like just in this case, some people play a Jim, like from The Office, where they're kind of just an extension of themselves. And some people play a Dwight, which is very much not like the actual actor. And I'm just kind of curious, which do you prefer?
Oh, man, that's, I feel like it's I think it's more fun when you can play somebody who's really far away from you, which is, I mean, which is evidenced by the fact that my Instagram show right now, I play an 85-year-old lady. I don't know. There's something really fun about disappearing into somebody who's not you.
Yeah.
I think it's the reason that a lot of us got into this business, because we like to just like try on somebody else's shoes and live in their life, you know? But sometimes it can be really nice and easy to just play somebody close to you. But I think it's definitely exciting when you can take on a character that's really not like you, who would say things you wouldn't, who would get into confrontations that you wouldn't. Mm-hmm. Ugh, so cathartic.
Yeah, we kind of do a little bit of that on the show where, I mean...
Yes, Lars plays more himself and I play more of, I guess, a character. Although it's kind of leveled off.
And we also get into, like, conversations and situations where both of us are obviously doing a bit. And it's not something that would really play out in real life. So I kind of know what you mean.
Or if it was, like there's some, if it was playing out in real life, it would be because we're also doing the bit in real life and we're just joking. We're not actually like...
Yeah, that's the problem with the podcast is that at a certain point, you almost never sign off. And you're always like, you're always a fake and a fraud.
You go to bed at night and your head's on your pillow, but you're still thinking about your character on the show and... You have these dreams.
It's just hell, honestly. It's just the worst.
In my dreams, I'm just Joe the podcast host. I have no identity anymore. Mary Ev, help.
Okay. Joe, you really ran with that one.
Here's the thing is I think even characters who may live a very different life than you, and they behave in the world in a really different way than you do, you have to find a way in. And so oftentimes it'll be like, oh, you're playing like an evil character. And the thing is that quote unquote evil character, they don't think that they're evil. They're committing such and such crime or because of a good reason, usually. So there's always a way to find like, oh, hey, I can't connect to, and I've never played a murderer, but like outside of like an acting class or something, but like, I can't relate to, wanting to murder my husband, but I can connect to, oh, hey, I want to protect another family member of mine. Cause I love and care about them. So it's just finding like the way in which that character can make sense to you within your own sort of framework of thought, if that makes any sense.
Are you a method actor?
I am a mix of a whole bunch of different things, but usually no.
Oh, so there goes that, Joe.
I was just curious.
Just as an aside, I kind of view the questions we've been asking as looking for hamburger, and you're giving us filet mignon every time that you're...
Oh,
yeah,
no,
we're like,
no,
can
no,
you
no.
tell
yeah.
us a story that's fun? And you're like, oh, yes, this one time. And it's like the same... Like,
yeah, or like, what's this person like? You have like this lengthy like essay of why they're awesome. I think that's great.
Well, you happen to, in that case, in the case of Neil Patrick Harris, you happen to pick a really great person who I did actually get to spend a fair bit of time with, even though my scenes were not with him. Mm-hmm. You know, if you'd said somebody else, it's like, I don't know. They seemed nice in passing at craft services, but I don't have a whole lot for you. You know, so you chose well.
Are you still in touch with him by any chance?
No, although you know what's weird? Like 2 years after the show was done, in the mail, I got a headshot of him. It was like an old black and white headshot that was like forever yours, Neil, or something. Like I was like, I think this is probably a joke, but it was very sweet. It just came out of nowhere. But no, we are not in touch.
Oh, okay. That does sound like something he would do. I mean,
listen, I was very low on the totem pole at that point. So it was not one of these things where it would ever have been appropriate for me to be like, oh, let's be best friends. Oh,
maybe just
unless you happen to hit it off on set or something, but.
Well, yeah, sure. Yeah, that's how to get blacklisted in this town is like way overreaching and not knowing, you know, what your place is in the process and not realizing.
Have you seen the movie The Room or Disaster Artist?
No.
There's just a scene in there where one of the characters basically goes up to, I think Spielberg or somebody like that, and begs him and does an audition in front of him while he's having dinner. And, whoever it was, Spielberg or whoever, was like, can you get this guy out of here? So I just, like,
that's just what you're picturing.
That's what ran through my mind. It might make for better radio if you had seen it. But I'm
the worst. I'm trying to get better with seeing movies, but I'm more of a TV girl myself. Oh. And even then, it's like, especially now, oh my God, there's so much TV being made. It's hard to keep up with. But movies are not usually my strong
suit. Fan of The Office, or what do you watch?
Well, I'm catching up on a bunch of stuff. I like literally just got into Parks and Rec now. I'm very, very late to that party.
Parks and Rec is good.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
That's
very,
very
good. Rob Lowe kills me, just slays me. I mean, listen, every character on that show is so well defined. I started watching it because of a writing project I'm working on right now. And just, man, if that show does not really hit home with the fact that comedy and, you know, your weekly TV comedy is really just about the characters. You have to want to visit with these people and invite them into your homes every week. It doesn't really matter what the episode's about. Mm-hmm. It just matters, you know, how these quirky characters are responding to it. So I'm really enjoying that right now. I feel like I'm in a weird drama phase, though, at the moment, you know, with Handmaid's Tale and really into Call the Midwife, the BBC show, mm-hmm. Killing Eve on BBC.
When you said you're in a bit of a drama phase, I thought you meant like you were going through some shit in life or something.
Some drama.
Like,
No. Okay. No, life is pretty good right now. I mean TV-wise.
I thought you meant when you said you were in a weird drama phase that you were into weird dramas. So you started listing shows and I was like, mm-hmm. those are kind of weird dramas.
Killing Eve is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's, have you watched that show?
No.
Oh, you should. Because it's like Sandra Oh is really interesting. And I don't know how, I can't recall the name of the actress, but her sort of co-lead on that show is just exactly the opposite of what you think a character type of an assassin would be. Mm-hmm. And so it makes her really, really interesting TV.
Speaking of which, I kind of think, Mariev, you should play an assassin at some point. Just I think
I would
that'd be
love
a very
to.
Interesting little, like, you got the, a lot little ball of energy, like 5 foot
and
two
then
woman
I can
who
see you just like apologizing, like, oh, sorry, I had to do that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry you had to die.
I'm sorry you had to die, but duty calls. Bye bye.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Listen, I'd love to as well.
That's
I'd
awesome.
Be the most, I'd try and do it as painlessly as possible, be real polite about it. I'd walk you through the steps just so you're not surprised as to what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Probably get you your last meal. Make it a nice experience for all of us. And then, well,
that sounds nice.
Good job and move on.
And then
that's
brutally
it. Get
slaughter.
It done efficiently.
That sounds very courteous. Like you're almost, you're doing them a favor.
If they ever reboot Dexter, you should try out for that role, I think then.
You know, they're doing so many reboots these days and like, you know, casting, you know, with like Ghostbusters wanting to do the all female version of it. Please. Mm-hmm. I could totally see them coming back and doing Dexter as, you know, with a woman. Who knows?
Okay.
It could happen.
I could see that.
When I first heard about Dexter, I thought it was like a live action Dexter's Laboratory.
Yeah.
Dexter's Laboratory. That's funny.
I was like, why is everyone getting into Dexter's Laboratory again?
When I first heard about Breaking Bad and found out it was about a chemistry teacher, I was like, why does everyone want to watch a show about a chemistry teacher?
Chemistry teacher. Boring.
Well, I didn't have that same experience. I all I heard was just meth. And
well,
was
but
like,
then I heard meth and I was like, oh, that sounds like out of character for a chemistry teacher. Now I'm interested.
Yeah, whenever Joe hears about meth, he's always down for that. He's always excited.
I love meth.
He's just like, what's happening over here?
Math?
Yeah.
Oh.
Is it, that's what we're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, we're talking about math. Okay.
All right, let's rewind.
They're preparing to perform a divine summoning. They're going to summon a god.
Right.
All right, I guess we did say meth.
Yeah. By the way, Joe, I wouldn't say I've been hogging the mic, but I
would.
Wanted to give you...
Okay. Pitiful clown.
That's a new one.
Mm-hmm. Do you like it?
Pitiful clown.
You pitiful clown.
Yeah.
I got tired of uncultured swine.
I don't think you ever actually said that. I think Ohan was the only one who did.
Mary, have you ever called somebody an uncultured swine?
Not lately.
But like in the past?
Not lately. Like she used to a lot.
You used to a lot.
Yeah, no, not lately or ever.
Oh, or ever. That's different. Yeah. That's different.
Yeah.
You know how they say good comedy presents itself in threes? Like one, two, three. I am a big fan of the awkward fourth and fifth joke in a row.
My husband and I were talking about this. I can't remember what movie we were watching, but I mean, I thought it was so funny, and he just can't stand cringeworthy humor.
Oh, that's the best. That's what I create.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, they're such, they make people, some people feel really uncomfortable, you know? Mm-hmm. But then maybe some people like it because it feels like it goes counter to, people are bored by the whole setup punchline.
I think I like cringeworthy humor because it's surprising. You're not expecting to see something.
Well, right. That's the basis of all humor.
Right. I think it's the same in terms of the cringy.
I guess I have kind of a love-hate relationship with it, where it's like, in certain doses and in certain methods of producing the cringe, I find it very, very amusing. Like your Curb Your Enthusiasms. And
oh, you know what show is actually great that does that? Have you guys seen Nathan For You?
No.
I've heard of it.
Oh my goodness. It's so funny. It's like a hidden camera type show. I guess not hidden camera, but this, he goes in, this guy, I can't remember what is some kind of consultant. He plays different characters in every sort of skit, but he kind of punks people for a better word. But he's so good at keeping a straight face with ridiculous questions he'll ask people, or like keeping a gag going for far too long. Mm-hmm. But he just commits and hangs in there.
Okay.
And he's so lovable that it's just, and he's never doing anything so horrible that you're like, oh, I can't watch this.
All right. Well, that's just to awesome. Let you know, by the way, you're recommending all these shows, and if I'm being completely honest, like, we'll politely say, like, oh, yeah, we'll totally watch that, but I'm sure both of us, me and Joe, have, like, already have a backlog of, like, 8,000 shows that people...
We all
like,
do.
I only watch...
We all do.
Time. I only watch The Office.
I know. Like, that's it.
No, I'm just kidding. It? No, I'm just joking.
That'd be kind of weird.
No, I mean, that is my go-to show when Big I put Max. Something on that I want to just, like, go on my phone and have something play in the background. I'll just play The Office. To be honest, I don't watch as much TV as I used to because I just don't have that much time.
I don't have time for it anymore because of the podcast, to be honest. Like,
yeah,
I caught the newest season of Doctor Who this winter, but that was about it. I mean,
the podcast takes a lot of time. And then I basically spend a good amount of my free time like marketing the podcast as well.
Mm-hmm.
Which takes a long time.
We never really leave the job.
Yeah, we're kind of like always working on it. We're thinking of ideas, talking to each other, like, wouldn't this be good? Wouldn't that be a good idea? And then... Yeah.
Totally. Hey, listen, I hear that as somebody, you know, an artist, a freelance person. It's just like we don't have 9-to-5 jobs where sometimes I will be envious of friends of mine who are in like the quote unquote like normal world where it's like, oh, on the weekends they can just live their lives. And it's like, no, if I like, I just printed out eight voiceover auditions that are due 9 a.m. Monday morning. So I have to do those. We have to shoot the next Instagrammy. I want to write next week's Instagrammy. I have to keep working on this pilot revision that I'm doing. So it's like when you're your own boss, it's like you're always at the office.
How did you come up with the name always. Instagrammy?
Yeah, so Instagrammy, we started with this idea because I have a 97-year-old great aunt who is been my creative muse for the last 2-3 years. She is awesome. She is legally blind, can barely hear, but she has her whole mind is there, and she's lived a really amazing life. And my God, you think I can talk? She can talk me under the table.
Wow. We
should start a story. Oh my gosh, yes. Listen, she would start a story. And then, you know how senior citizens will often, like, they'll go off on a tangent and they'll forget where they are. She would start a story and then like 2 hours later, circle back like that. She's all there. Anyway, I just think the world of her. And I started doing sort of her voice in animated stuff, like maybe 2-3 years ago, getting curious about this character. I did a series of character shows where I presented, I ended up writing a bit and like performing on stage as her, and it just like killed. So my husband was like, I think we should do a show where you play yourself and your grandmother. And I was like, oh, that's such a great idea. So we thought, okay, we'll do the same thing that I did with my first web series was called Pleasant Events. And they were all like 3 to 5 minute episodes. And so we started thinking about that. And it just became clear that, you know, we spent so much money on that first web series and very few people saw it. Now, listen, it ended up being a great thing for us because we actually ended up getting the show into development for TV with a production company and pitched it to several big studios. So it wasn't a waste by any means, but not very many people saw it. So then we tried to figure out, like, where are our friends hanging out? Mm-hmm. And everybody's spending so much time on Instagram these days. So we said, why don't we, instead of making 3 to 5 minutes on YouTube where people like our age are not, we're not going to YouTube for narrative content. If we want narrative content, we're going to go to Netflix, because guess what? The production value is much higher. We're going to go to YouTube to figure out like what's wrong with my dishwasher, mm-hmm. you know, but not to be entertained for the most part. So we said, okay, why don't we meet our friends where they're already hanging out, which is Instagram. And so we're going to do 1 minute episodes. The show, we did like a little test 3 minute thing and it was called like Grammy's My Roomie. And then when we moved it over to Instagram, it was like done. 1 minute, Instagrammy, these quirky stories of two roommates, except plot twist, one of the roommates is the other roommate's grandmother. And plot twist, I'm both roles. And like we were off to the races. So it took a couple months of like developing it and figuring out like, okay, what's going to work? And also, you know, anybody can kind of make a short film or make 5, 6, 7, 8 episodes of a web series and they'd be like, oh, that was a lot. And then you stop. But I think the only way you can really make a dent and get people sort of attention, which is the new currency nowadays, is through consistency. So for us, a 1 minute model where we try and keep the production value as high as we can, but we're not crewing up with 10 people, you know, and it becomes really expensive to do. We just do it ourselves. It's my husband and myself. That's it. We write everything. I'm sound man. We're, you know.
Surely you have lighting people.
No, he does it all.
But surely somebody does the... I'm just kidding.
No.
That's it. And so we were just like, we got really excited about the prospect of like 1 minute a week, which by the way, sounds like, that's nothing. It's quite a bit, especially because you have the writing challenge of how am I going to tell a complete story with a beginning, a middle and an end and conflict and jokes in 1 minute.
Yeah, I imagine that's
challenge. And we play with really fun split screen stuff. So we're often on, like, I'm on screen with my grandmother a lot. And not to mention, it's a great acting challenge.
Yeah. Do you have a twin or something? Is that how you're able to pull that off?
Well, actually, I asked, my sister was in an episode over Christmas where we had her be my body double. But now, just me staring at a dot and trying to have a full, complete, rich relationship with a dot on the wall.
It seems to be working out for you, though.
So far, so good. We're having a good time with it. We're at 15 episodes, and we're going to go to 25, and then take a wee break, and then head into season 2.
By the way, I'd like both of you to turn your attention to the general chat here on the Discord because
very good.
Yeah, so back in November 21st, 2012, I posted a photo on Instagram of my grandma, and the caption is Instagramma. So I'm going to go ahead and
interesting.
Going to have to sue you for that one cuz
there you go.
That's already mine.
She's a Grammy. She's a Grammy.
Oh, no. I'm surprised the Grammys haven't sued you.
Yeah. Well,
it's Grammy, Grammmie.
Sorry. My mistake.
Very creative way to get around
that. Sorry about that. Yes, of course. Yeah.
Okay. Joe, do you want to maybe throw a couple hypotheticals at her before we kind of bounce her? Actually, Mariev, is there anything you wanted to specifically get to? Or
no, I mean, not. I just wanted to answer if there were any burning questions that, you know, your audience is really interested in.
Oh, all of our questions are burning. You should answer all the questions as if your life depended on them.
Always as if there's like a deep burn, like a chemical burn, third degree. First, second,
ouch.
And third.
Ouch.
Yeah. Or that you're being threatened with said deep burn, and that you, if you answer the question, you'll be spared.
Not that you're actually being threatened. You just use, it's like an expression, like answer as if you're being threatened with a third degree burn.
Right.
All right, Joe.
What? Are you going to pretend like you've never heard that expression, Lars?
Mary has now. What I have to deal now with. That you've said it. All right.
No, I don't know. If I had to say like any burning messages that I would have for people out there, it's like, I don't know. If you're a creative person, just keep going, because it's hard, and like, don't believe the hype of people's social media, because people will post something about like, oh, their life is so fabulous, but they're in the trenches working really hard, and don't let that discourage you. Stop comparing yourself to other people, and just kind of do what makes you happy creatively. Is Instagrammy super weird that I love playing an old lady? Yes, it is. Guess what? I have a great time.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's super weird.
But super duper weird, but it's unique and original. And
it's
weirdest
really fun.
Thing I think I've ever seen.
Content.
What a strange human being. But I'm glad that you
I have a burning question. Mm-hmm. And Lars isn't gonna like this one. But do you like to travel?
Oh god, no.
Do I like to travel?
This question.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you have a particular luggage that you like to travel with?
Like a particular brand?
Yeah.
I have a pretty great Samsonite that's like the biggest regulation like carry-on. It really shouldn't be a carry-on because it's so huge, but it somehow qualifies.
What is it? Delsey? Toomey?
I think it's a Samsonite.
Samsonite. Oh, that's a great brand. That's one of those hardcover ones with the polyfiber.
Yeah.
See, why? The reason why Joe is asking you this is because
I'm slow on the uptake, so
there's really no reason. The joke
no,
is.
Okay. Let me go ahead and explain.
Let me explain, because I don't think that you're going to do it justice.
I'm going to do it justice.
Lars doesn't lay down like when I ask about other people's luggages, just because I work in a hotel and deal with luggage, and so I did it once. I just was talking about how there's all these different kinds of luggages. Lars was like, nobody cares about luggage, Joe. And I was like, I know, but they should.
Yeah. And I'm getting concerned, though, because he asks every guest like about their luggage situation.
At this point, it's just to annoy Lars at this point.
The way that he talks about it makes, he seems like almost aroused by it. Like,
I
don't know if he can stand up right now.
I put the mustard on it. You know?
Oh, man. It's just
luggage.
Hey,
listen, I have always been fascinated. I've always said, I don't care what a person is passionate about as long as they are passionate about something. So if you're really passionate about luggage, then we can probably get along. The people who I can't get along with are those who are kind of like meh about everything.
Well, I'm passionate about certain things.
Yeah,
I don't know
as long as
if
you have a passion about something.
I don't know if luggage is my passion specifically. I just think it's interesting. There's like different types. I just think it's funny how much it annoys Lars.
I think luggage is kind of your kink, Joe. I mean,
it's not. It's really not. I mean, like, do I?
Why do you feel like it says a lot about a person, the type of luggage they have?
I think it does. I mean, you can look at somebody's luggage and be like, oh, well, that person's really prepared.
Can we talk about anything besides luggage now?
Well, real quick, before we move on, I just wanted to say, like, it's definitely not my kink. Like, am I sitting there thinking, like, oh, like, you could take...
Notice how he's going out of his way to specifically, like, deny it. He's like, that definitely is not what I'm into.
No, okay, it's not. It's not. But, like, you ever look at a luggage and you're just like, that luggage is really sexy?
I have to say no.
Yeah,
on that I can say like, wow, that's really functional, and that's
exactly.
Like a good looking piece of plastic.
There is no arousal that occurs.
Yeah,
like that's a really good looking piece of plastic.
Wow,
I'm just cringing.
I can appreciate it for its functionality, but that's about
it. All right,
thank you.
It sounds like we're all on the same page.
Nope.
Let's move on.
In very different chapters.
Let's move on.
I think we should at least get one hypothetical out of her.
Absolutely. I do. I have one in mind. If you were going to go anywhere in the world and you can have any luggage that you want. Just kidding.
Oh my.
Just joking. Lars, do you have one in mind?
That's a great idea, Joe. Yeah, what's one that we haven't really thrown out lately?
Let's say you had to create a new character for something that you've mm-hmm. worked on in the past. Is there like a new character that you would want to create? Add that on in, throw that into the plot? No. Write some lines?
Is there a new character that I would want to play in an existing
something you already
show?
Worked on?
Joe,
yeah.
this is not a good question.
Okay, let's move on then. Let's just cut that.
That's just a little too specific.
I know my questions are bad. I'm not good at coming up with them on the spot. Always these hypothetical ones. And Lars always does this thing where he's like, "Hey Joe, you want to ask a hypothetical question?" I'm like, "Yeah," and he's like, "Okay, go ahead." Like I didn't have one in mind, Lars. You're the one who brought it up.
I have faith in you. I think you can pull something good out.
No, you're just wrong. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, I could pull something good out.
Go for it.
Oh, jeez.
Be funny. Dance,
do you want me to ask you a hypothetical question?
Oh, yeah, sure. If you got one.
Absolutely.
That'd be something new.
I don't have no idea of the nature of your usual hypothetical questions.
Usually luggage. Something having to do with luggage.
Yeah,
the hypothetical question is like a regular question, but it's hypothetical.
Well, yes. That part I followed. Yeah. I just didn't know. I shouldn't have offered. That's really what I should have kept my mouth closed.
Well,
why don't you ask Lars, when was the last time you cried?
Okay, and about what? That's what I want to know. I don't care when it was. Just what was it about?
To be honest, I'm not really much of a crier. Like I can't really remember the last time. Like I get sad occasionally, but I'm not really like the tears kind of guy. I don't know.
Yeah. You've got a whole bunch of like toxic masculinity bottled up waiting to
explode.
No, it's
not toxic masculinity. It's just like my response to stuff is pretty leveled.
Pretty leveled. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there's like a deep turmoil inside.
Well, there's a turmoil, but not a turmoil.
But there's a turmoil.
Yeah.
Like a turnstile. Is that?
No. By the way, I was gonna bring this up earlier, but I just never got a chance to throw it in there. Himyam sounds like some kind of like dish, like a soup dish that you would order that has like noodles in it and stuff. And
well, because it sounds like tom yum
and it sounds good.
Thai soup.
Like it sounds like it'd be tasty.
It has noodles and maybe there's an egg, like ramen.
Mm-hmm.
Yum.
Perhaps some hints of lemongrass.
You guys want to get him yum?
Yeah, exactly.
I think so. Sounds good. I think I'm down for that.
Sounds good.
Oh, let's play the $2 billion game. Let's do that.
Okay
so for $2 billion,
mm-hmm.
would you lose one limb and you cannot replace it with an artificial limb? And if so, which one would it be?
For $2 billion,
cold hard cash, untaxed.
Or direct deposit.
I don't think so. No.
Okay.
No, I just, you can always make money. You can always make more of it, but like.
You can always make $2 billion.
Well, you can always grow your limbs back. Aren't you guys salamanders? I'm a salamander.
That is absolute blatherskite.
I was really thinking about like, because the only thing I would sacrifice would be my left arm, you know, limb wise. Cause I'm like, I need both legs. So it's like, is my left arm? No.
Well, what if a limb meant like it could be like a pinky or something?
That's not a limb.
Let's say it is hypothetically.
All right. So limbs or fingers?
Like you could.
Then sure. Yeah.
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 And which no one? Problem. Your left pinky or something?
My left pinky. Yeah.
I feel like my left pinky is pretty darn useless.
Yeah. It's not doing a whole lot these days. It's not really keeping up its end of the bargain. I mean, I'm not playing a lot of piano. So, especially my piano got stolen recently. So, I'm not playing a lot of it these days. Oh. So, sure. For $2 billion. You can take my pinky.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like my left pinky's not really doing anything either. You know?
I feel like I could do without the right as well. I'd live.
Yeah, you can definitely live.
I just pay someone like to follow me around and like put one of their fingers up there, like hold it up there so that if I ever need a pinky, like I'll just have them move with me. For $2 billion.
Like if you just for tea parties, you come and like bring your pinky stand
in. That's a good
so
point.
You can have it.
Yeah. I think I'd hire Mariev to be my pinky stand-in at that point.
How much would you charge to do that, Mariev, if Lars did want to hire you?
This is absurd.
Gosh.
Like, what's your rate for that?
I don't know. You made $2 billion and not see, having it. So I think you can probably afford, I don't know, 50K?
Ring me out for my last dime at that point.
I think you can get more than that. I mean, this is, you know.
I mean, I want to make it affordable enough that you're just like, you asked me back.
He can afford
it.
He can, you know, he can afford it.
Joe, let me make my own decisions. Thank you.
I speak for Lars when I say that he needs more. I mean, you need more. I speak for both of you.
I need more. See, this is the thing. Actors are bad negotiators for themselves. Artists generally. This is why we have agents.
Yeah.
You know?
By the way, I went ahead and muted Joe so he couldn't talk for me anymore. So, I speak for myself.
Yeah. See, that's the first rule. It's like I should really not have. That's like one of the first rules of negotiation is to not give the number out as saying like, well, what are you offering?
Yeah.
What was your budget?
Yeah, because I think you could have got a lot more.
I failed.
I showed my entire hand there. Like, I have $2 billion in that situation. So that's, this is how not to negotiate, I guess. This is a good lesson.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
A little tidbit you didn't know you were going to get right at the end of the podcast.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. Congratulations. You stuck around and it really paid off.
That's right.
So this is kind of the point in the show where we give out, you know, social media information, just like direct people to the projects of the person that we're interviewing.
Sure. I feel like the hub of everything, you can visit my website. If you Google Mariev Harrington, M-A-R-I-E-V as in Victor E, last name Harrington, H-E-R-I-N-G-T-O-N. Because like then my website comes up where I post all the stuff about my upcoming projects, whether that's on camera, writing, voiceover, singing stuff. It's all there. And probably when you're Googling it, you're going to find, you know, my Instagram and my Twitter and on all the social media networks. I'm at Red Harrington. So you can drop me a line and say hi there if you have any questions about acting or writing or creating or just being an artist in this difficult time and world right now. I'd love to connect with you.
Wow. And that's great.
Yeah. Joe, you want to go ahead and not sign us off, but give the, the requisite information.
If you're interested in following the first podcast, everything's pretty much at T1 podcast. That's the letter T, number one podcast. That's Instagram, Twitter, Facebook,
.com.
Our email address is firstpodcastever@gmail.com, because as you know, we were the first podcast ever. We started recording in 1972 and the internet was not yet invented, so we could not upload yet, but that's what makes
that's a story for another day.
You'll have to tune in to the old episodes to find out the backstory.
Yeah, just
and
go
lore.
Listen to all of the old episodes and you'll be
and get
up.
Back to yep. us. Yeah, listen to every single episode and you'll be well informed. If you wanted to donate to our Patreon, as this is a labor of love and there's no obligation, but it's appreciated.
Oh, there's some obligation.
Not minimum obligation.
Lots of obligation.
You can join our $1 tier. It's patreon.com.
I'd rather people check out the $100 tier first. It's a little bit more affordable.
First do the $100 tier. If you want to take a step back, you could do the $1 tier. That's purely up to you. And if are interested in
partially up to you
appearing on the show, or you know somebody who you think would be a good fit, send them our way. Have them send us an email.
And by that, we don't mean just like your friend Dave, who's funny. We mean like
someone who's got
actual notable people,
someone who's done something, or they're good at what they do.
Like, well,
they're trying really hard to do something.
Trying really hard and failing, but still trying.
Well, if you're trying really hard, then it's one thing.
At this point, basically, our criteria is you had to have at least a small role on Himyam for notability. Yeah. But other
sometimes
than that,
people come up to
us. I just made it
on,
guys. I just made it on.
Yeah.
Whew.
Touchy
there for a second.
You set that cutoff, you happen to make it.
That's right.
Anyway,
thanks for joining us. We normally have the guests sign us off, so Mariev, take it away.
Go ahead.
All right. Thank you so much for having me, Joe and Lars. And this has been the T1 Podcast. I'm Mariev Harrington, and we'll talk to you next time.
Kinda. I mean, that's not the name of the show, but I guess since people mispronounce your name all the time, we'll let you get away with calling us something that isn't the first podcast, right, even though it is the first podcast, and that was pretty awkward, Mariev. I mean, Marvie.